Whispering.
Whispering.
Whispering streets.
Whispering Streets, a complete news story each day, Monday through Friday. And here is Hope Winslow.
Hello. The streets that whisper their way through the slums, that are sordid and ambitionless, are the saddest streets, no doubt of that. In a flat on one of these sad streets, Mrs. Nolan came in from a day's work and stood on the threshold of the kitchen sitting room, surveying her husband. He was sprawled out on a sagging couch, dressed as usual in an undershirt, a pair of ragged trousers, and no shoes whatsoever. He turned his head lazily.
Well, you're back again?
That's what tears the heart out of me. It's always back again to this place. Never in my life did I see such a dirty flat. If you had any pride at all...
I got pride enough about something.
Such as?
Oh, no. Take it easy.
Take it easy? We can't both of us afford to take it easy. One of us has got to work. Why don't you go out with a rod gang and earn your living with a pick and shovel, Jim, if you can't with your brain? You've got enough good muscles. Why don't you mop up the floors of this flat and wash the windows?
Ah, stop your yammering. Ain't a man's place to do such things. You're a cleaning woman by profession. That's your job.
For 2 cents, I'd smack that grin off that face of yours.
Now, sit down, Mary, and take off your little shoes.
Yes, then there'll be two of us. Oh, but my ankles are that swollen. Oh, there, that's better. Where's Mike?
Your guess is good as mine.
Well, if you was a decent father, you'd watch out for your only son. All the things going on in the city and Mike getting worse and worse. Hanging out in pool rooms, running with a gang.
Mike is young. Young folks should have their freedom.
Well, young folks should keep in line, Jim. Where's Nanny?
Oh, Nanny. Heavens, I don't know. Oh, yes, I do, too. She went over to that lady that lives in the Traymore Apartments to pick up your week's money. You know, you told her to go over there late this afternoon.
Well, did you give her a quarter for bus fare?
No, I didn't have one on me.
Well, the poor child will have a long walk.
Well, she can ride home after she gets your money.
Oh, funny.
You know, Nanny's been acting funny of late. Sort of mopish, not talking. It ain't right for a 9-year-old girl to be so mopish. Yeah, like as not, it's just growing pains.
Well, I'm real worried about Nanny. I'm worried about everything. You and Mike and Nanny. You should have a steady job, Jim.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Well, Mike should have a steady job.
Well, that I agree with.
Listen to me now, Jim. Mike's got a high school education. Nanny should have a smile on her face. That's you, Mike?
No, Mama. It's me. Mama, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I could write a book about what I think. Ah, you're smiling for a change, Nanny. What is it, sweetie?
It's the lady at the Traymore Apartments. She's a lovely lady, Mama.
Oh, she's a really lovely lady. I've got 3 lovely ladies I work for. Mrs. Cadman, though she's awful quiet. And Mrs. Craig. Oh, I pray to heaven she'll stop grieving after a while. She and her husband had just 1 baby, Jim, and they lost it.
Is that so?
It was that tragic. Poor lady. She just can't seem to pick herself up.
Is that so?
Yeah. And then there's Mrs. Stoll at the Traymore Apartments. Oh, did she give you my wages, Nanny?
Yes, Mama. They're in this envelope.
Oh, that's fine. And we'll eat tonight. Now, let's have some corned beef and cabbage and a nice cold bucket of beer.
Oh, shut your big fat mouth, Jim. Go on, Nanny.
Well, and she gave me $1 for myself.
Well, now, that was real generous of her.
And, Mama, guess what?
What?
She's got a little girl 1 year older than me, and she's outgrown her last year's clothes. And Mrs. Stowell says she's going to give them to me, all of them. And they're lovely clothes, Mama, and they have such nice outfits for school. There's a plaid dress, and let's see, there's a blue skirt with 2 blouses and 2 sweaters. And soft like kittens, and there's socks that match the sweaters. And there's a pair of shoes that just fit me. And there's a party dress. It's made out of taffeta, Mama, and it rustles...
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Holy St. Patrick, Jim. You're sitting up.
Yeah.
What's come over you?
My pride. I told you, I got pride. And my kid ain't going to wear the cast-off clothes of any other kid. She ain't going to accept charity. I call it an insult, that lady offering your kid's cast-off clothes, Nonnie.
You call it an insult? But what'll I wear to school if I don't take those clothes? I haven't anything that's decent. Everybody will look at me and laugh at me. If I can't have any decent clothes to wear to school, next Monday, when school opens, I'll run away or kill myself. That's what I'll do. I'll kill myself.
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back again. But first, it's true that none of us can be all things to all people. But there's no reason why you shouldn't break out of your own routine long enough to enjoy our realistic Western adventures on Gunsmoke, or share in the emotional experiences of the people whose stories are dramatized on CBS Radio's City Hospital. To live the life of a pioneer in Dodge City, join us on CBS Radio each Saturday and Sunday as thieves, cattle rustlers, dance hall girls, and even respectable people stir up excitement on Gunsmoke. New worlds of interest open to you each Saturday, too, as most of these same stations bring you CBS Radio's City Hospital. Go behind the scenes at a huge metropolitan medical center this Saturday. Meet people at crucial moments in their lives. And follow Dr. Barton Crane as he solves each human interest problem on CBS Radio's City Hospital. And now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Jim Nolan was sitting up straight in the center of the couch with his shoeless feet on the floor. Mrs. Nolan was leaning forward, staring at the door through which her young daughter had vanished. She spoke after a minute.
Well, for goodness sake.
What a way to carry on.
She was so happy when she came into the house.
Happy as a lark. But I'm blamed if I let anybody patronize.
I passed Nonnie in the hall. She was bawling her head off. You swat her, Pa?
No, I didn't swat her. I just spoke my mind.
Your mind?
And if you're inferring that I haven't got a mind...
He spoke his mind all right, Mike. And where were you last night and why didn't you come home?
I stayed with a guy.
What guy?
Take it easy, Ma. I'm 21. I'll move out of here for good if you start asking questions.
Well, you might as well move out. We don't see nothing of you anyway.
Skip it. What'd you pull on Nonnie, Pa?
I'll tell you. There's a lady I work for, one of my best customers. I give her 3 days a week cleaning.
She lives at the Traymore apartment.
That's right.
Yeah. Nadia went there to collect her ma's wages, and the lady offered her a bunch of clothes that her own kid had outgrown.
And your pop suddenly developed pride. He said that he wouldn't have his kid except charity.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't suppose you've noticed how Nonnie goes around most of the time looking like a rag bag.
Now, you shut up, Mike. We can't afford to dress her like we was in the 400.
We can't afford to dress her decent, that's the truth of it. So she was crying because you wouldn't let her accept the clothes, huh? Was that it?
School starts on Monday, Mike. Nonnie said she didn't have nothing to wear to school, that everybody'd laugh at her.
Yeah, she ended up saying she wouldn't go on Monday. Said she'd run away or kill herself. You ever hear such stinking talk? Yes. Yeah, will you spit a can of beer with me, Mike?
Now you're lying down again.
Just like he always does when something's important.
What's so important about a kid's clothes?
So long since you were a kid, you don't remember. It ain't so long since I was a kid. Just think back to the time I got in the scrape over that car.
Think back? I don't have to. The thought's with me always. Nanny was coming in. I went to the judge and cried. That's the only reason you got off, Mike. Me pregnant and crying. You only 11 or 12.
Yeah, no, Ma. Me 11 or 12. Went with the older guys and helped them steal that car because the kids laughed at me at school. When my toes were sticking out of my shoes and my elbows were sticking out of my sweater, they started to razz me about seeing my old man coming home drunk. That's why I looked like a rag bag. Well, I got decent clothes now.
Well, how you earn them without a job is beyond me.
I don't earn them. I'm just lucky, Ma. I'll sit in on a game tonight. I'll win, Nonnie, a new school outfit, believe me.
My daughter ain't going to wear charity clothes, and she won't wear clothes that a gambler gets for her neither.
Oh, there's his pride again. Well, Nonnie ain't going to wear clothes I earn for her, because what I earn just pays the rent and the food, and there's nothing left over. Jim, If you're so fussy about where your daughter gets her school clothes, you better go out and make some money yourself.
That's a riot.
What's a riot?
You earning money. You ain't got it in you to earn money.
Who says I ain't got it in me to earn money?
Your son does. And I second the motion, Jim. You're a good-for-nothing lazy scalpeed.
Gosh almighty, Ma, look. Pa's standing up.
Where's my shoes, Mary?
I wouldn't know wherever you left them last.
They're sticking out from under the couch.
Ah, so I see. Oh, I don't wish I could get it. Hey, one of these laces is broke.
Not from tying it, ain't it? It's from dry rot.
That's enough from you, Mike. Well, so long.
Jim, where are you going?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes!
Wouldn't you just like to know?
Fine thing to happen at the end of a hard day. If you've sent your father to the saloon, Mike...
No, Ma, he ain't gone to the saloon. His credit's worn thin there. Hey, Ma, this place looks fierce.
I know.
Bad enough for a poor kid to break her heart over clothes without having to live in a dump like this.
I'm too tired. After scrubbing all day for other people, I can't clean my own shack.
Look, Ma, I'll give you a hand if you like.
You?
Yeah, me. Let's at least have things decent, if possible, by the time Nonnie gets home.
Nonnie didn't come home until 8 o'clock. She looked white and woebegone and very, very tiny. Her mother, in a clean apron, was sitting in a sagging rocker. Mike was playing a game of solitaire at the oddly clean table. Mrs. Nolan spoke with a sharpness that ill-concealed her worry.
Little girl shouldn't stay out this late.
Why don't you go make yourself a sandwich, kid? There's stuff in the icebox.
Okay. Where's Papa?
Heaven only knows.
I'm sorry I spoke like I did. To Papa and to you, Mama. I won't run away, and I won't kill myself. I'll go to school, and I'll try not to notice when the kids laugh at me. I shouldn't have talked so crazy.
You weren't talking so crazy, kid.
No, you weren't talking so crazy. I do wish your pa'd come home.
Well, so what if he don't? He's no good anyhow, if you ask me.
You're a fine one to talk, Mike. Offering to gamble so your sister can dress decent. You're as bad as he is.
Well, she can dress decent without me gambling. Job came up today at the docks. Yeah. A checker. There's good money in it, too. This here's the first of the week. I can earn Nonnie a dress and a decent pair of shoes, and that ain't all. How about it, Nonnie?
Thanks a lot, Mike, for saying it. But I know how things are. You'll get out with the boys, and I've seen you when I went past the pool room. And when you try hard to win, that's what you told me once, you're apt to lose. I don't want a sandwich, Mom. I guess I'll go to bed.
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back. Two can laugh as cheaply as one. That's the marital theory invented by CBS Radio's The Couple Next Door. Each Monday through Friday, Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce portray our young married pair. So for another laugh on life, join us on CBS Radio as most of these same stations present the next comedy episode of The Couple Next Door. And now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Mrs. Nolan was heavy-eyed the next morning when she went to work for Mrs. Craig, who'd lost her child. She didn't have much to say, but Mrs. Craig, who never had much to say, didn't seem to notice. Mary Nolan didn't mention that her husband had stayed out all night and that her son Mike had disappeared before breakfast. She got through the day somehow, cleaning more steadily and efficiently than usual. She came home by bus. The Craigs lived in the suburbs, to a pathetically clean flat, which was inhabited solely by a child.
Where's your father? Where's your brother, Nonnie?
Oh, I haven't seen neither of them, Mama.
But I don't know what to think of it.
Mike said he was going to earn me a dress.
Oh, don't take any stock in that, Nonnie.
I don't.
Your pa's done bad things, plenty of bad things. Like throwing up jobs and quarreling with a foreman, not taking any jobs at all. They were shiftless bad, Nanny, not bad, bad. Never in all the days of our marriage has he stayed out all night.
It's my fault. But the taffeta ruffled and the sweaters were so kitten sausage.
I know, dearie, I know. You're only a baby, you can't be blamed. I'm a woman. To have all the men go out of my home at once, Listen, put on your coat, Nanny. Walk down the street. And when you come to the pool room, kind of slow down and glance through the windows. And if Mike's there, beckon to him.
Yes, Mama.
And peek under the door of the saloon as you go by. And if your pa's there... Oh, but he won't be. He hasn't got a cent. Who do you think that would be now?
I don't know, Mama. Nobody ever rings our bell.
Oh, I'm as nervous as a cat. I feel like I've got an icicle for a spine, Nanny.
So do I.
Please go, dearie. Open the door.
Yes, Mama. I'll be right there.
If Jim's been in an accident, I'd have heard. Bad news travels fast, they say, and it's the truth. If Mike's got himself shot up, which I always thought would happen, well, I'd have heard that, too.
Mama.
Yes, dearie, what is it?
It was a man. Awful rough-looking man.
Well, have you ever seen him before?
No, Mama. He brought a letter. It's for you.
A letter for me? Oh, heaven forbid.
Well, you better open it, Mama.
I'm scared to. Oh, my knees have turned to jelly. You open it, Nanny.
But it's your letter.
Open it even so. Read it aloud, dearie. You can read real good. You're 9.
All right.
All right. Who's it from?
It's from Papa.
In his own writing?
Uh-huh.
Well, what does he say?
He says he's sending a letter by a stranger.
Well, we could see that for ourselves. What else, Nanny?
He says not to expect him till you see him.
Oh, that's cold comfort. So I'm not to expect him till I see him. It's a fine way for a man to tell his wife he's left her. And as for Mike, where is he, I'd like to know? Right at this time when I need him. Who's there? Who's there, I'm asking? Oh, like it's not, it's more bad news. Who's there?
It was Mike who walked into the room. Mike, looking somehow different than he'd looked in the last few years. He was less shifty-eyed, and he was holding himself a little straighter. He rumpled Nanny's hair as he walked past her. He paused, grinning in front of his mother.
Well, here I am. What you got to eat, Ma?
I haven't fixed nothing yet. Mike, your pa hasn't come home yet. It's the first time since we were married that he's...
That he's worked more than 2 hours at a stretch.
What?
They put him on the midnight shift right off. He worked clean through till noon.
You mean it?
I mean just what I'm saying. He worked through till noon. Now he's taking some shut-eye down at the docks because there's a big ship in tonight and they'll need all the hands.
Mike! Well, you're as clear as mud, Mike. For heaven's sake, explain what you're getting at.
I told you I was going to take a job at the docks, didn't I?
Yeah, but I didn't believe it.
Give me a kiss, Ma.
The back of my hand.
It is something else you won't believe. You could have knocked me over with a feather when I saw Pa walking along with a bale on his shoulder.
A bale on his shoulder?
And I suppose you could have knocked him over with a feather when he saw me. Of course, now my job as a checker is practically white collar and he's only a laborer, but... Hey, Ma, you look real shaky. There ain't nothing to be shaky about, Ma.
No.
You stop crying, Nanny. Look, a working man likes to come home to smiling faces. Now, we'll go shopping, kid. Saturday afternoon. I got Saturday off. And we'll buy you some school clothes. You and me and Ma and Pa. The family. Together.
A little child shall lead them. Not that a 9-year-old is a very little child, but even so, the good proverb comes true again. We're mighty glad that Nanny got her school clothes, and take it from me, she did get them. Mrs. Nolan said she worked for three lovely ladies, among them a Mrs. Craig, who'd lost her baby and couldn't stop grieving.
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back to tell you more about Mrs. Craig. But first, it's too bad in a way that nobody's figured out some way to put our laws into packages. Packages clearly marked, handle with care. For nothing else is ever broken with as many dramatic repercussions as the law. Witness the fate of lawbreakers every Sunday as programs like CBS Radio's FBI in Peace and War and Indictment describe the workings of justice in thrilling detail week after week on CBS Radio. Our FBI in Peace and War racks up new triumphs as confidence men, hijackers, racketeers, and underworld characters of every kind feel the full weight of the law. Broadcast on most of these same stations on Sunday, too, Indictment lets you follow in the footsteps of an assistant district attorney as he lines up the witnesses and gathers the evidence to bring another criminal case to a just indictment. Both of these exciting shows make it obvious why our laws should be marked, handle with care. Mark them both clearly in your own mind as explosive. Now, here is Hope Winslow to tell you about Monday's story.
Mrs. Craig, who'd lost her baby, had also lost the ability to smile, the desire to ever enjoy happiness. You'll sympathize with her husband as he fights a strange battle. Until Monday, then, this is Hope Winslow saying goodbye from the Whispering Streets.
Whispering Streets brings you a complete story every day, Monday through Friday. Today's program was written by Margaret E. Sangster. Featured in the cast was Kathy Lewis as Hope Winslow. Others in today's show were June Foray, Jack Moyles, John Wilder, and Kathy Garver. Whispering Streets was directed by Gordon T. Hughes and produced by Ted Lloyd. Best wishes to CBS Radio affiliate WTAR, Norfolk, Virginia, celebrating 35 years on the air next Sunday. Dan Coverley speaking. Join us Monday for another complete story from The Whispering Streets.
Listen while you work. Hear Howard Miller in the daytime on the CBS Radio Network.